The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the SLP Talk Show. Real talk with Carrie about stuff that really matters.
Hey, it's Carrie, your fast-talking, speech therapy-loving host. While you are driving, cleaning, exercising, or whatever it is you do while listening to podcasts, I'm going to be chatting about pediatric speech therapy stuff. But I don't want our time together to feel like work or be boring. You already work enough, and you already have enough boring stuff to do in your life. So let's get going and have some fun. Hey guys, welcome to episode number 24 of the SLP Talk Show. Today is an off-topic episode. So we're going to do a non-speech therapy, non-child development, totally off-topic episode. Are you ready for this, Jim?
I'm ready. Yeah. This is going to be, I guess, my show.
It is going to be kind of your show. So in case you are new to the SLP Talk Show, I'm Carrie. I am joined by my husband, Jim.
Hello.
And so we're going to do something fun. But before we get started, normally we do Chump or Champ, and I quiz Mr. Trivia. Mm-hmm. I give him four questions, and we see if he's a chump or a champ. And so because this is an off-topic, whole different format today, Jim is actually going to quiz me on, I believe, my football knowledge. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so four questions.
Reverse chump or champ.
Reverse chump or champ. So yes. Bring it on. Let's see. Let's see what we got going.
Okay, question number one. It's kind of an easy one, I think. How many teams are there in the NFL?
Oh, frickin' A. Oh, I should know. 32.
That's right.
That number came
ding, ding,
to
ding,
me.
Ding.
So there are 16 in the left league and 16 in the right league. Like, you know,
the AFC, NFC.
Yes,
there you go.
AFC.
Okay. This is another softball here.
Okay.
How many players
can
be on the field for each team at a time?
Because they get in trouble if there's too many, if one doesn't get off the field in time. Oh, how many players? I'm going to say 12. 11. What is the answer?
It's 11.
I see. So 12 is too many.
12, yeah.
I'm already a chump. All right. So 11. All right.
Okay. This one is a fantasy football question.
Oh, crap.
A little more challenging. So we were kind of working our way up here.
All right.
What position can be used for what positions can be used for your flex spot?
Oh, it can be a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end.
That's correct. Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
I actually knew that one. Okay.
Okay. And that's the most challenging question.
Oh,
here.
No. All right.
What does PPR stand for?
Points per reception?
Yes. I am so proud of you. Fist bump.
Yeah. Fist bump. All right. Very good. Very good.
I'm a little disappointed you missed how many guys.
Well, the 12, because 12 men on the field. If I would have thought about it for two more seconds, because that's the bad. When those bad 12th guy gets on the field.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'll never forget now.
You can play with 10 or 9.
But not 12.
But not 12.
Okay. 11. Okay. So I am a chump officially. But that's okay.
Hey, but you 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. Yep, very good. All right, so our topic of conversation today is fantasy football. So we have a family fantasy football league, and it is called, Jim?
Blood, Sweat, and Beers.
Blood, Sweat, and Beers. Yes, this is our second year for our family fantasy football league. Jim, you're in a multitude of leagues. Like, I don't even know how you keep track of them all.
I actually pared it back this year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I'm only going to be in 3, maybe 4 at the most.
Oh, okay. That's not terrible, I guess. So this is my only league, and I'm very new to fantasy football. I've always enjoyed watching football, but like just to give you guys a little example of how little I understand the complex game of football, was it last Christmas or 2 Christmases ago, Jim got me a book called...
Football for Dummies.
Fantasy Football for Dummies.
No, it was
Football for Dummies.
For Dummies.
Yeah, it was one of those yellow books like... from yeah. the books. And yeah, Football for Dummies. So I have to admit, I haven't read it cover to cover, and I should, because then I wouldn't have to ask you all these questions probably, but...
You know, you need to embed it into your daily routines.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Ebert. Yes, I do.
Because I don't want to give you homework.
I know, and it feels like homework at this point. I know.
See, okay. Maybe...
I need to read a chapter a week. Yeah. That's what I need to do.
You know, okay. In your reading time, just slip it in there in the stack.
All right, very good, very good. So last year, my first year ever playing fantasy football, I actually came in fourth. I made the playoffs, and I was 10-5.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going with this.
Jim came in fifth.
I came in fifth.
With a record of 9-6. So, while I did okay, I seriously, it was 100% beginner's luck. Like, I literally had no idea what I was doing in the draft. It was just luck. So, this year...
I thought you drafted pretty well.
Well, you know...
You drafted third,
right? I did draft third, mm-hmm. and I... So, yeah, I had Alvin Kamara. What was the name of my team? Something about Kamara.
Lights, Kamara, Action.
Lights, Kamara, Action. Yeah, that was my team name. So, this year, I want to go into our draft, which is coming up here in a few weeks, mm-hmm. right? I want to go into our draft with a little bit more knowledge so that I can draft a more competitive fantasy football team.
Okay.
So, I have come up with some questions for Jim. I didn't give him these ahead of time.
Oh, no.
And these are not, like, to quiz him or anything. I mean, he's like a football.
Is it just like opinions?
Yeah, it's just your you know, this is just to help. I'm hoping there are some listeners who are like, ooh, I'm doing a fantasy football league and I'm a beginner too. So if you're a real, like, knowledgeable football enthusiast, these questions will be too, like, ridiculously easy for you. But so here's my first question, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, how do the different PPRs affect how we draft players? Like, what's our league? Are we a PPR, a half PPR? I don't understand. Like, I always hear PPR this and PPR that. So
PPR is points per reception.
Okay.
So a half PPR means you get a half a point every time they catch the ball.
So what are we? Are we a...
We're a half PPR.
We are half. So mm-hmm. if you... Wait, run the ball or catch the ball?
Catch the ball. So if you have a running back or a wide receiver or a tight end,
okay,
where they're, you know, catching the ball
mm-hmm.
routinely,
okay,
that's good because you get 1.5 point plus whatever the yardage is.
Plus whatever. So if they run 7 yards.
Yeah.
Wait, run or catch? See, I'm still confused. Catch.
So it'd be 0.7. You get, you know, every 10 yards is a point.
Every 10. See, now I'm so lost. Every 10 yards is a point. So if you run 7 yards, you don't get 7 points.
You get 1.2 points.
1.2? How do you do that math?
Because there's half a point.
For
catching the ball.
It? Oh, just for catching it, you get a point?
You get half a point plus the 7 yards. So that'd be 1.2 points that you got on that play.
Whoa. So why do we have to be half? Why wouldn't it make math easier if we were just like
a full point? Yeah. Well, we could.
But we're not. So
it's more traditional to be a half point just because then the scoring isn't quite so crazy.
Oh,
because
otherwise the points get out of control.
I mean, I like leagues that score lots of points. I've played in standard leagues, which a standard league is no points per reception. It's just yardage.
Oh, just yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, then, you know, you have some wide receivers might catch 12 or
mm-hmm.
13, 15 balls in a game. Well, then all you get is their yardage. And that's really, catching 15 passes in a game, you should be rewarded for that. So that's why we do the half point.
Okay. Okay, so now I want to understand more about how we score points. So if my quarterback guy throws a touchdown, how many points does he get?
Six.
He gets...
No, actually four. Sorry. Four for the touchdown itself plus the yardage.
And that is
a little bit different. For quarterbacks, it's 1 point for every 25 yards.
See, how does anyone keep this straight? Like,
That's why we have computers.
Oh, so we don't have to keep it straight.
No, you just...
What happened?
See, back in the day.
You had to, like,
you had to add all the stuff.
Or get the newspaper. Didn't you have to get the newspaper?
And they used to call them rotisserie leagues back in the day.
Rotisserie?
Yeah. And you literally would get the newspaper and...
And figure out
and add up all the points.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That would, yeah.
I'm not committed enough
to
do that.
So what happens if your quarterback guy, like, throws an interception? How does he get in trouble? Like, what's his punishment?
-1 point.
Just one?
Mm-hmm.
You only lose 1 point
if
he throws an interception. What about the guy who catches it? Does he get anything? Oh, no, but that's defense.
The defense will get points for Interceptions, yeah.
Okay.
They get 2 points.
Okay. So rushing yards, you get, that's what we talked about. No, that's if they carry the ball.
Okay.
What if they carry the ball?
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I can run 10 it's yards. Same thing.
1 point. Running backs, or anybody that has the ball that runs with it,
mm-hmm.
even a quarterback, it's every 10 yards is 1 point.
Oh, it's okay. Okay. Very good. What if you fumble, recover a fumble? What does your defense get?
+2.
And what about the guy who fumbled?
-2.
Oh, yeah. Point for point. Okay. Field goals?
Inside of 40 yards, they are 3 points.
Okay. But what if you kick one more than 40 yards?
40 to 50 is 4. 50 plus is 5.
Ooh. So getting a kicker is important, but not till the later rounds, right?
They're not that important in the grand scheme of things.
Okay. All right. Very good. So I learned a term last year called a stack.
Okay.
And that's when you have a quarterback and a wide receiver from the same team on your fantasy team. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So how important is it in the grand scheme of things to, in the draft, to get a stack? How important?
Okay, so it's a nice bonus to have.
It's just a bonus. It's not something you strive for?
There's different schools of thought on it, but I personally think that it's good if it's in a high octane or a high throwing offense. Okay, so if you had Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And you had, what's his name? Their top receiver. I can't remember his name now.
Oh.
It'll come to me in a minute. But if you had... like last year, if you had Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
They target Tyreek Hill a lot, like more than 100 times in a year.
And we lost Tyreek.
Yeah. Well, he's gone now. But just for examples, that would be a great stack.
So when
And it's really hard to do.
It's really hard to do.
Because people don't want you to have the stacks.
Oh, I see.
So.
Did you have a stack last year?
I did. I had Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins for the Vikings.
Okay.
And it worked out well in one of my leagues.
Okay. Okay. So you don't, you could try to strive for it, but it's pretty unlikely you'll get the stack. Like,
yeah. I mean, I, you know, you can kind of hedge your bets a little bit because if, let's say that team that has the stack runs into a really stout defense or has a bad week, so do you. You have a bad week. You don't score as many points.
I see.
Okay. So there's, that's where, you know, the opposite argument comes into play. It's like, well, maybe stacks aren't the greatest for consistency.
Because if one guy has a bad game, the other guy
but
has a bad.
But that can be really good. So I think, you know, in an investment standpoint, the volatility is high for that. So you can be high, you can be really low.
You're using really big words. So it's kind of feast or famine if you have a stack. When they're good, they're really good. When they're bad, they're both really bad.
Like right? I said, if it's a high-octane offense like the Chiefs or the Bills or somebody like that, you know, then I would say it's good.
Okay.
And it's something you should strive for. But if it's a number two or three receiver that's not getting targeted all that much, it's not going to really make that much difference.
See, that's what I did last year. I don't even know who it was, but I had Josh Allen, and I was like, ooh, one of the, I don't know if it was wide receivers, I think, for him was available, so I got him, and I was like, oh, I have a stack, and it really, Josh Allen had a heck of a year, don't get me wrong, but whoever I had is the wide receiver, it turned out to be virtually.
Well, he was probably their wide receiver three or four.
That's what I mean. And I didn't know. So
get the ball a lot.
Okay. Okay. So my next question. The quarterback, and I know I ask you this like all the time, but I just like to hear your explanation. The quarterback to me, as a not very knowledgeable football fan, seems like the most important player on the field. Is that fair to say or not? Because he's like the pitcher in the baseball game. That's how I liken it. Like, he's like the leader. He's like the, he sets the tone for the offense, obviously, right?
Well, everything that happens in the offense runs through him.
Right. So, I view him as being super important. So, what I want to try to understand is why people don't draft a quarterback first. Because you always tell me you don't ever draft a quarterback in the first round.
I mean, that's my opinion. It doesn't mean that it's the right way or the wrong way to do it, but there you can get them later. It's about
because there's draft so many position. Of them.
Because because running backs traditionally have been the most important
as far as scoring points,
because
in
they can consistently score you points. Because if they can get 100 yards or 80 yards in a game and then score a touchdown, that's like going to get you over 12, 15 points in a game. Hmm. Quarterbacks, you know, there's a lot of them that can do a lot. So really what the argument is what are you giving up in that first round to get that quarterback?
And you're giving up a lot.
You're giving up an elite either running back or wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Because it's in my...
It's really hard to win when you don't have
one of those. Yeah.
A solid, team.
Okay. All right. So what would you say is the earliest round that you would logically draft a quarterback?
I don't know. It depends on how the draft's going. But I would say fourth round, third round is okay. Mm-hmm. If you're already got two really good players, a good running back and a good wide receiver, and you're sitting there in the third round, and maybe the elite tight ends are gone then maybe you go for a quarterback there.
All right.
I will confess this. I have drafted a quarterback in the first round before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
And did it work out well for you that year?
It actually did.
So it was
Peyton Manning back in the day.
Back in the day, okay.
And he threw like 50 touchdown passes that year. Wow. So it did work out well for
me. Okay, so it's not unheard of, but it's just not what most people do.
It's not unheard of, but it's generally known. Experienced players don't necessarily do that.
Okay, very good. All right, so in our particular draft this year, we just... picked our slots or got our slots where what number we draft. So I'm drafting seventh. There's 10 people in our league, right? So I'm drafting seventh. So there's obviously not going to be any top running backs left. Is that fair to say? Are there more than seven top running backs in the league?
It depends on how it goes. I mean, like we just talked about, if somebody takes a quarterback or if somebody decides to go with Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson in the first six picks, you could have somebody fall to you. And that's where you have to make the decision. Do I take this player?
Right.
Or do I, is there another player that's going to score you more points?
Is the next most important player after running back as far as scoring points, is it the wide receiver?
I think so now because it's such a passing league now.
Okay.
And the other reason for that is a lot of teams are going to running back by committee. So that means they've got two good running backs or maybe even three that they rotate in and through. So the importance of the running back has been slightly lessened in the last 10 years because of this trend. Mm. Because instead of getting 25 touches or 25, opportunities in a game to run the ball or catch the ball, maybe they're only getting 15 maybe they're getting 10.
So
you have to really look at the running backs and say, okay, is this going to be a guy that touches the ball 25 times or 20 plus times?
Here's my problem with being on a fantasy football league is that I don't know the ins and outs. So all I typically do is look at who's left, because the computer will tell you what's it called, the best
they rate them for you.
So do you, how reliable is that best available? Like if I'm looking for a
it's pretty reliable,
because it means
it's not bad,
they're rated that way because they get touches.
You're not going to get in trouble by
following
the recommendations. Like there's a couple of different sites that I use, and one of them's Fantasy Football Pros.
Do you have to pay for that site?
No, it's free. I mean, you can upgrade to pay version if you want, but you can get a lot of good information just based on their website.
Well, and I do want to do some mock drafts. I haven't done that
yet. I would highly recommend that.
Yes.
Because then you'll kind of get an idea of how the draft is going to fall for you.
So where can you do mock drafts?
You can try different strategies. Fantasy Football Pros.
You can do it on there.
They actually have an app.
And it's free, though?
Yeah.
Oh, Fantasy Football Pros.
Yeah, well, and you can put your draft position in there if you know that.
Well, that's what I want to do, definitely.
Now, a lot of leagues do random. and you don't know what position you're
drafting.
Well,
that wouldn't help me much.
Those are fun too, though. I like those leagues.
Yeah, but
too.
It wouldn't help me in my current situation.
No.
So, anyways, I just want to ask you about tight ends. Who are the top? Because I mean, we live in Kansas City, so Travis Kelce is a tight end, right? Who else are the top stud tight ends?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not just because I'm a Kansas City Chief fan.
Okay.
But Travis Kelce is far and away the best right
now.
So who's
second?
And he has not slowed down.
Who's next? Like, I just don't know any of the tight ends.
I mean, Darren Waller and Kittle are typically...
George Kittle. He went to the University of Iowa, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Woo-hoo.
Tight end you. And so those two guys generally are thought of as the next tier. But I'll throw another name out there.
Okay.
His name is Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews.
Plays for the Ravens.
I'm going to write that one down. Mark
He Andrews. Is the top receiver on their team.
On the Ravens?
Yeah.
So Lamar, who's
Lamar
the Ravens?
Jackson loves throwing to his tight end.
I was going to ask you, who's their quarterback?
Lamar Jackson.
And he throws. He's a thrower or a runner?
Both. Oh. He's actually, from a fantasy football standpoint, he's a good quarterback to
Lamar
have.
Is?
Oh, yeah, because he gets you a lot of yards on the ground. I think maybe that'll start to go away a little bit because they're going to try to keep him healthy.
Okay.
Because the more you run, the more you get beat up.
Gotcha. All right, couple more questions. Are there different drafting philosophies that people follow, or is it more just, is there is it that organized that there's like a philosophy?
If you want to get really super technical about it, are.
But nothing I need to know about.
No. Okay. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, there are some people that do a no running back strategy.
No running backs?
In the first, their first few picks are not running backs, like for three or four.
Whoa.
And then they go fifth round and beyond and pick running backs after that.
So what are they getting in the first round?
I struggle with that, and I don't know if that would work so well.
So that's not your philosophy.
No.
All right, last question. What is your best advice for a newbie fantasy football player? One piece of advice, what would it be?
If you know your draft position or if you can pick it.
I know it. So for...
I would pick in the middle.
Oh, when you pick it.
Yes.
Right.
But generally, I would go running back first round.
That's your best advice.
For the most part, if you're in the first five picks, you're going to get a pretty good running back. Now, that comes with caveats because here's the big equalizer, and it's called injuries. And last year, Christian McCaffrey was the number one running back taken in the vast majority of leagues nationwide.
And he was hurt almost the whole year, wasn't he?
And he went down in, I think, week one.
Mm-hmm.
And
never came back.
So,
gotcha.
What for that first round's important. If that first round pick is a dud, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. But it doesn't mean you can't still salvage something. If you pick up a backup, or if you pick up, like Chuba Hubbard was the backup running back for McCaffrey last year, and a lot of people picked him up, and he did decent.
He did okay. Got some points.
Because that offense was kind of built around that running back receiver kind of position, kind of like Alvin Kamara, your guy.
Yeah.
Is
he still around, Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How highly rated is he?
He's getting up there a little bit.
In age.
There's always that time where, the running back doesn't perform.
Right.
Because it's a very physical position and they just get beat up.
Sure.
And, so it's like, when do you stop?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people right now talking about Christian McCaffrey that way. That, because he's had so many injuries,
Is he ranked in the top, five?
I think his average draft position is lower this year than it's ever been.
Like how low?
Probably five.
Really?
But, there are still people that'll take him number one, though.
But see, in thinking about it, I wouldn't draft him in the first round. And not that I know that much about him, but
it's the cautionary tale from last year. And see, and this is where the psychology of things comes into this, is because a lot of people will chase production.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that Cooper Kupp is going to be overvalued this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year.
Right.
But I'm saying,
but it's hard to repeat what he did last year.
Last year was an incredible year that doesn't come off along
and
very often.
And guess who
often.
Had Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, you did.
You're looking at her? Yes.
Okay, so as I say this, in my auction league, I have Cooper Kupp coming back next year. And I have Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, you
and
have
I have T. Higgins. And I have Michael Pittman Jr.
Yeah, you have a heck of a team.
So I have four guys in the top 10.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And McCaffrey.
Very good. So. All right. Well, those were my primary questions. I don't know if I'm going to do any better at drafting it, but I think doing the mock drafts, I want to do a bunch of those, and I think it'll help me feel a little better about it. So thank you, Jim, for sharing your knowledge on football. We talk, I don't know about you guys at home who are listening, but we spend a lot of time just talking about football. Well, no, I'm going to rephrase it. Jim spends a lot of time talking about football, and I spend a lot of time nodding my head and acting like I know what he's talking about. But I do learn. I do learn. Learn over the years. So we've been married 29 years, so I picked up a few nuggets here and there. So this was our off-topic episode. Next episode, we'll get back to the world of speech therapy and child development and all that good stuff. But thank you, Jim, for enlightening us.
You're welcome.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of SLP Talk Show. If you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review along with any feedback. And we'd love to know what topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. So as you go back into the real world, be kind, practice acceptance, and please, please get your boobies checked. Early detection could just save your life. Well, it could save your life. It certainly saved mine, didn't it, Jim?
It did.
10 years ago, certainly did. So until we meet again, cheers.